Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Let's go. Come on. Week two of Chasing Carrots. We're really, really glad you're here today. I hate to be the guy that follows the cute little kids. You know what I'm saying? Be miserable to be that guy. Man, those kids are so cute up here today. I love seeing our little kids follow Jesus. But you know what, man? It is awesome when I see mom and dads follow Jesus. There's nothing like moms and dads following Jesus and group leaders following Jesus. So we're really, really glad you're here today. Hey, again, Dinah said it to you before. If you're visiting Hope Church for the very first time, we want you to know that we're really, really glad you're here today. There's nothing like when you go somewhere and they don't have a seat for you. Come on. Or they ran out of room. We want you to know there's a seat at our table for you. You can roll with us, do life with us. We would love to hang out with you. And so if you're here today, you go, man, I'm just checking things out. We want to invite you to come back next week. Come on, see what a second week feels like. See what a third week feels like. And so I'm really, really, really glad that you're here today. All the people that you saw up here today, they were invited to church by somebody. They were invited to church, somebody. I did a message, as we called, everybody is somebody's somebody. Be somebody's somebody. And so somebody invited them. And so maybe you got here because somebody invited you. So we want to encourage you, let you know there's spot for you. We'll just keep inviting your friends and we'll make spots for them. And I believe that God's going to do an incredible thing in our life today. Hey, we started a series last week called Chasing Carrots. Chasing Carrots. These are organic carrots. If you want some carrots today, you can have these when I'm done. I'm not going to eat them. They look a little lifeless. But the point is this, by the way, if you ever go to the organic section, you want those, you can have them. If you ever go to the organic section of the grocery store, I don't go there a lot, but I went there last night to get these. They have an irrigation system set up there in there. I went to reach in there, it kicked on and got my arm wet. So these are, that's why they charge so much, because you've got a running irrigation system in there for these Chasing Carrots, but too far. When a donkey would not go for the farmer or would not move for the farmer in the agricultural system, they would take these carrots and they would tie them to a pole and they'd put them out in front of the donkey, and the donkey would chase the carrots. The donkey never ever would get the carrots while it was working. Once the work was done, it finally would get the carrots. So the carrot was just used there as a tool to make the donkey do the work, to make the donkey go forward, to plow the land and to make the things happen. What I find ourselves a lot in a lot of our culture, I find ourselves a lot like the donkeys. We're all chasing something. And last week we opened up this series, we all identified the fact that we're all chasing something, maybe not right now, but at some point in your life, you have chased something, you've wanted something, and you went after something. We've all been there before. And it starts at a young age, like these kids' lives. Every single mom and dad, when they have kids that small, they want them all to do one thing. They want them to eventually walk. And what we do is we put carrots out there. They look in the form of an iPad, but we put iPads out there, or maybe whatever your kid likes. Maybe it's a favorite toy, or maybe if it's any other kid's piece of candy. And the kid begins to walk after the proverbial carrot to go get it. And eventually they would start walking. Oh, that's so cool. And then from at that point, from a one-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-old, four-year-old, the rest of our life, we begin to chase carrots. We have a bunch of seniors that are graduating high school. Hey, what are you doing next? What are you doing next? College. What are you doing after college? What next? Oh, I'm going to get a job. Well, how much are you going to make? We're going to make six figures. You're not going to make six figures. But you know, like, but go try anyways. And then you get the job. Like, okay, we get the next job. And our whole lives are always, we're always chasing carrots. C.S. Lewis said it this way. Human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. Come on, you don't have to go very far to realize someone around you or someone that you know, they just want to be happy. A lot of people that I talk to, man, I just want peace. I want to have happiness. I want to have peace. I want to have happiness. I want to have peace. I want to have happiness. And all throughout this Bible that we read from, men and women are trying to find happiness. And they'll chase as much as they can to get it. And so last week we looked at this question, God, will you reveal to me what I'm chasing? God, will you reveal to me what I'm chasing? But I want to ask this question to you today. I want you to ask God this question today is, God, why am I chasing this? If he's revealed to you what he's showing you, I want you to ask God the question, God, why am I chasing this? Why do I want this so bad? And I would like to suggest to you today, a lot of times we're chasing things because the person to the left or to the right, they have it. Come on, we have kid toys at our house. It's because this sweet little girl up here and my wife has these moms in her house, and so we keep toys around. So when kids come over, there's toys to play with. And the Williams come over, they have little kids, they go to the playroom, and it's inevitable. There's lots of toys in there. There's lots of toys there because my wife won't throw them away. But there's lots of toys in there. And every single time, what I have found is that the kids usually want the toy that somebody else has. It works with my adults. My adult kid, I have my 6-year-old, she has an iPad. I didn't see it. She has an iPad. It's hers. She paid for it. I'm proud of her. Come on, anytime they buy their own stuff, I'm just proud of them. I'm just like, come on, girl, buy whatever you want, as long as it's your money. Well, my 9-year-old, I want that. I want that. Can I have that? I want that. I want that. Or if we have a TV, we get a TV controller at my house. Usually we lose them. They're all on our phones now because we never lose our phones. But it's like, well, I want that. Well, I want that. We're usually chasing things because the people around us, you guys have heard it said, comparison is the thief of joy. I like to add this to it as well. If you're always comparing yourself to others, you'll never see yourself as God sees you. Isn't that traumatic? We want you to see yourself the way God sees you because he's your creator. You shouldn't see yourself the way, my dad's not here today, but last night he texted me. I had tickets to the Bay Hill tournament yesterday. And so he assumed because I had them yesterday, I'd have them today. So last night at 10 o'clock, he's like, hey, I need tickets for tomorrow. I'm like, I'm not your ticket dealer. I'm a pastor. Someone gave me those four from yesterday. And he's like, last night, 11 o'clock, he's like, well, wherever you got those ones, ask if they got some for Sunday. I'm like, bro, get your own tickets. You know what I'm saying? I'm not slinging tickets. You know what I'm saying? I got a job. We find ourselves in the chasing, or, well, I want that, or I want that, or I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want to chase that, I want to chase that. We have to ask ourselves, man, why do we really want that? Why am I really, really chasing that? And so our subject matter, again, it's not what we want. We want you to see yourself the way God sees you. What I was going to tell you earlier if I got sidetracked, my dad's a landscaper. He's been in the landscaping industry, had his own business for like over 45 years. When I was in high school, my dad wanted me to be a landscaper. He wanted me to take over his family business. I found out shortly, yo, it's hot out there. It's hot in Florida. It's hot. Hot for your boy. I'm already dark enough. I ain't trying to get darker. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just too hot. It's too hot for your boy. I don't want to be that. And so my dad and I fought for like 4 years. Because I'm like, Dad, I feel like God wants me to be a pastor. He's like, no, God told me you're going to be a landscaper. I was like, no, I think God wants me to be a pastor. And so we fought for 4 years. And I finally, God said to him, hey, he's supposed to be who I called him to be. Not who you want him to be. He's supposed to be who I called him to be. And that was in the seat that I find myself in, the calling that God has given me. And so we got to see ourselves the way God sees us. But sometimes comparison will really mess us. And honestly, there's a lot of you guys in here today, you've lived a long life. And the older you get, you realize you don't care the people to the left or right of you have. Dave Ramsey says this, and he's a financial planner and was bankrupt multiple times. Now he helps people not go through what he went through. But he said this, that most people drive the cars that they drive so they can impress the people next to them that they don't even know. Isn't that silly? Crazy. Or back in the day, he goes, we would wear suits in church so we look nice, so we can look, well, we can impress the person next to us. And so we find ourselves in this comparison. It's one of the reasons that we're looking around going, look at them, look at them, look at them, look at them, look at them. We've been using a man by the name of King Solomon. And I don't care how rich you think you are. None of you guys are as rich as King Solomon's. Research has showed us that King Solomon, I'm just going to jump right out into the gate so I can show you how rich he is, and maybe it'll make you feel better or worse about your current situation. King Solomon was so rich, his dad was a king, he was a king. He made $2,000 a minute. Can you imagine? He didn't make millions in his lifetime. He made hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Do you think he had... Now, we would go, dude, lucky guy. He must be so happy. Well, let's look at his story. Here's what he says. Here's what he says about his own story. I said to myself, he's tried everything. Now, you would think hundreds of millions of dollars would be plenty, but here's what he goes. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I go, let's try pleasure. Well, we've all tried that before. Come on. Let's try pleasure, he says. And then he goes here, let's look for the good things in life. And that's good. Like, that's not bad. Let's look for the good things in life, but I found that this too was meaningless. Everything I chased was meaningless. The word meaningless in the original translation is the word hevel. It's the word broken. Everything's broken. You guys, we don't have to go far to see that. You can go out of your front door and look around and, man, see people are broken. You can turn on your news feed or your whatever source that you get it from. My reliable source for news is Facebook. I don't know where you go, but you can see that everything's broken. Everything is broken around us. You can see it with your little kids. Man, there is sometimes, man, I remember there were some of those days, these kids are cute. Moms and dads, you remember when you had little kids and they had ED, explosive diarrhea? Remember when they had that? Sometimes when I see these kids, I'm like, man, there's a high percentage chance that when they get in the car, their kid's gonna just blow out that diaper. Because the blowouts only happen when you're going somewhere with family or somewhere important, or when you've dressed them up a little bit extra. There's a chasing he's going. He's going, there's a chasing. There's a brokenness. You can see brokenness starts with the little kids. I want that. Let me have that. He hit me. Why did he hit you? Because he hit me. He bit me. Because there's a brokenness all around us. And he goes, man, all the things in the world, it seems like it's meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself up with wine. I know some of you guys are like, amen. Let's give it a shot. He's like, I'm going to try wine. I don't know what kind of wine you drink, but it paled in comparison to what he had. I was talking to God last night. He's like, I like a $6 bag of wine, Pastor West. I was doing some research for the message. I said, that's disgusting, you know? Whatever you drink, this guy, the highest level, he actually didn't buy wine. He actually just bought the vineyard and put it on his grounds. I'll try drinking. I've tried laughter. And he goes, I decided to cheer myself. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness also. He goes, I've tried wisdom and I've also tried foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. Everyone is searching for happiness. You can find it in Jesus. Spoiler alert, that's like a few more weeks away from this message. This is daunting, the first couple of chapters. It's like, it's all bad, it's all bad, it's all bad. It's like every three words, it's all bad, it's all bad. It's like chasing carrots. That's all you hear on repeat over and over again. He goes, I also try to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. Anybody ever built a home before? Yeah. Wasn't it miserable? Didn't it? Come on, everybody's like, oh, I would love to build a home. Look at them, they get to build a home. Look at them, they get to build a home. If you talk to them, they're gonna go, it costed more than we thought it was gonna cost. Me and my wife cussed at each other every day about the paint. Come on. I know that's for some couple in here today. You know what? Like we argued about this. We argued about this. We argued about this. It costed more. And here's what I know about now. If you built post-COVID, it's taken longer than you thought it was going to take. Pastor West, I don't know how many times I heard this over COVID. Pastor West, please pray that my beams come in. Pastor West, please pray that my windows come in. Pastor West, please pray that the workers actually show up to actually do the work. Pastor West, like there's this chasing. He, you know how long it took him to build his house? 13 years. He also built a temple for God. You guess how long it took him to build the temple? 7 years. Because stuff's not bad until stuff owns you. We see that in this man's life. I mean, 13 years. 13 months is a long time. Let's be honest. In our society, 13 hours is a long time. How many of you guys, when he goes, can you get it overnight? You Amazon, can I get it overnight between 4 and 6? And you're not even up yet. But you select that button. You're like, why wouldn't I get it? Just because I can, I will. Click. You know what I'm saying? Saturday, not waking up till 11 o'clock anyways, but I want it now. I want what I want, and I want it now. He's the guy, that was him. This guy lived out whatever he wanted. He chased, and he chased, and he chased. And you would think being a king's son and being a multi-gazillionaire, that he'd be fine. But he goes, I kept on chasing. I kept on chasing. Verse 4 says this, I also try to find meaning. I'm building homes. Verse 5, y'all, his gardens were big, clearly. He goes, I made gardens and parks, and I filled them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I had to build reservoirs to water my stuff. Now, I don't care. I don't know what kind of garden you got, but it ain't that good. Not compared to this guy. Verse 7 goes, I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born in my household. My slaves had slaves, slaves, slaves had slaves. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold. He actually collected so much silver that the silver had no value for everybody else because he owned most of all of it. This dude was bad, dude. This dude had it all. He had it. he had it all. I collected great sums. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. He had every different, he had blonde-haired girls, dark-haired girls. He had every kind of girl, he had it. Whatever concert you go to, he didn't go to the concerts. He brought the concert to him. He bought them. Whatever your favorite band is, he wasn't like, yeah, I'm gonna go see them. I'm gonna go see the concert. He's like, we're gonna put a house in my backyard. Let's bring them in. Let's fly them in. Let's cherry them in a little bit and let's have a big party. Whatever parties you went to, you ever been to a party before? And you're like, yo, this party's fire. Whatever parties you went to, it paled in comparison to King Solomon's parties. But as I looked up, verse 11 says, but as I looked up at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so broken. It was like chasing after carrots. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Isn't that discouraging? You're like, this guy's got a problem. This guy's got issues. He has all this money. He's still complaining. He has something. If your guy's like, he had all those ladies and he was still complaining. I was going to do one's kind of tricky. I'm not going to say it was hard, but I mean, one is, it's tricky. You know what I'm saying? It takes a while to get in the rhythm of learning them. You know what I'm saying? You guys change every 5 years, but that's besides the point. He's like, he had it all. And yet he was still struggling. He's still struggling. So I decided to compare wisdom and foolishness and madness. For who can do this better than I, the king? I thought wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. For the wise can see where they are going, but fools walk in the dark. Yet I saw that the wise and the foolish share the same fate. Both will die. So I said to myself, self, since I will end up the same as the fool, what's the value of all my wisdom? This is all so pointless. This is all so broken. For the wise and the foolish, they both die. The wise will not be remembered any longer than the fool. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. So I came to hate life. Can you imagine? I know some people, they're depressed because they have nothing, but he's depressed because he has so much. Isn't that our world? You meet so many people, like, oh, I wish I had that. Then you meet the people that have that, you're going, man, I wish I had that. And it's this literal, this tug of war. This is defeating, and it'll actually put him in a state of depression. He's like, I hate my life. It's how deep it is for him. All the stuff in the world. I said it last week, but Jim Carrey said, I wish everyone could be rich so they can see that money won't fix all your problems. What did Sean Puffy Combs say? More money, more problems. It just doesn't really matter, it seems like. It's so defeating. Can I be honest with you? It's defeating to read it. I preached this mess. I preached Ecclesiastes back in 2008 or 9 or 10 to a bunch of college students because I wanted them to like get this at a young age. And then I find myself, 2000, here we are, 10, 12, 15 years later, and God's going, hey, now again, the church needs this because we're all chasing after something. But we could be different. We could be different. So that was bad, but let's keep the party going. Verse 18 says this, I came to hate all my hard work here on earth. You ever get in the car and go, man, I hate my boss? Hopefully none of my staff just said yes, they feel that way. But can you imagine, oh, I hate my job. I hate this. I hate just everything. Everything's miserable. He goes, because here's what I found out. He goes, I must leave to others everything that I've earned. And who can tell whether my successes will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. So I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. Some people work wisely with knowledge and skill, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't even worked for it. This too is meaningless. It's a great tragedy. This guy's self-talk is broken right now. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It's all havel. It's all meaningless. Aren't you so glad you invited your friends to come to church today? This is so hard. But can I tell you this today? As a friend, a pastor, someone who loves you, we all can relate with this. If it's not you, it's the person next to you. If you're the person next to you, it's the person next to you. It's everyone. We all struggle with this chase. I remember sitting with Dinah's grandma being really, really, really old, and she's like, I'm old, and this is, it's miserable being old. But you know what I was thinking as a young guy? I was going, you're gonna see Jesus like really soon. Like you should have saw him already. That's how old she was. I'm like, you're gonna see Jesus really soon. And she's going, man, being old is hard. And you're going, man, I counsel so many young people. We're dying trying to invest in this next generation of young people. We baptized 10 people last week, all of them under the age of 30. I just believe that God's got something unique for this generation. A bunch of young people just going, hey, God, we want more God. This generation, I believe, they're going, man, we are tired of chasing meaningless things. We're tired of all the brokenness around us. We want something more. We want something better. So I gave up. Verse 21, some people work wisely with knowledge and skill, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. This too is meaningless, a great tragedy. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It's all meaningless. I read that again for in case you missed it. Verse 24, so I decided there's nothing better than to enjoy food and to drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are far from the hand of God. Verse 25 gets a little bit, here's some hope for you. Verse 25, for who can eat or enjoy anything apart from God? He basically says this, life is meaningless apart from God. If you're with God, it's a game changer. It becomes different. I had a young lady recently reach out to me and she said, Pastor West, can you pray for me? I'm an atheist. And I go, oh, I love, you know me, Captain Sarcastic. I love praying for atheists. Because we're all atheists before we meet Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You're born an atheist. Like you're born not knowing God, not following God. So I was like, I'd love to pray for you. So she wrote back, thanks so much for praying. I feel like God's working on my situation. I'm like, you don't need your situation. You need your situation work. You need a savior. You need a savior. She messaged me like 3 or 4 or 5 days later, a week later, Pastor West, I'm ready to be a Christian. Because what I've tried isn't working. Everything is meaningless. Everything is so hard. Verse 26, apart from God, everything is impossible or broken. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away from him and gives it to those who please him. This too is havel or broken. It's like chasing after carrots. I believe in my heart of hearts, we chase carrots because we're looking around and we're trying to consume what everybody else is consuming. And what I want to suggest to you today, what's so cool about this church is all the communicators, including me, all we've committed to do, the standard that I ask them is just to preach this Bible. There's enough churches where people are preaching their opinions that people like and they stay until you don't like that opinion, then you leave. There's enough people preaching politics across America. If that's a church looking for, then you can go chase that. There's people that are, you know, it's gonna be an all black church, it's gonna be an all white church. I don't see that in the Bible. The Bible says every tongue, every tribe, every nation. All we're gonna do is preach this Bible. You don't have to take my word for it today. Take one of the richest men to ever live in all of history. The parties, the girls, the drugs, whatever it is, he tried it all. And he said, it's all pointless without God. Even the good stuff is pointless without God. I have a daughter. I have two daughters. I have a 16-year-old daughter. I have a 13-year-old son. I have twins that are 9. And it's awesome. 2 girls, 2 boys. And my daughter, the 9-year-old, she bought me these golf balls for Christmas. And they weren't the ones that I played. No big deal. You know, all my golfers are like, it's a big deal. If you say, if it's not a big deal, it's actually a big deal. So it's not the ones I played. But anyways, I went out golfing on Friday, hit the first golf ball. It went far. And I looked at the box and it said, distance. I said, oh, cool, awesome. Hit the second ball, hated the ball. Third ball, it was short, I hated it. And I was like, I don't like these golf balls. And I was telling the guys, like, I don't really like these golf balls. He's like, yeah, you won't like those because those are for this and da 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 da. So cool. I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna. My daughter was so happy to give me those golf balls. Can I be honest with you? I was happy to receive them. But I got home, got out of my truck, and my boys came up. How was golf? I said, it was great. I said, I got something for you. They go, what do you got for me? I said, I got you some golf balls. Regifting. Regifting. Sometimes the best gifts are regifts. I go, he goes to me, he goes, you got the 9-year-old boy is in here. He goes, you got these for me? I go, I got these for you. He's like, for me? I'm like, I got them for you. He loves them. He loves them. It's not going to affect his golf game, but clearly it affected mine. At least so I thought. You know what's so cool? It felt good to get the gift. I'm sure it felt good for my daughter to give me the gift. I did try it. I didn't like it. And I passed the gift on. It felt good for me to give the gift, and my son also liked the gift. That seems like a silly illustration to you today. A few years ago, Di and I, we gave a car away. We one of the values at this church is generosity. That comes from the heart of Wes and Diana, but more importantly, generosity comes from the heart of God. I mean, John 3:16 said he gave his life. Nothing's more generous than someone giving their life. So we gave this car away a few years ago. I gave it to our children's director. I gave it to her daughter. And her daughter drove it for years. She said, Pastor Wes, thank you so much. You're awesome. Blah, 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 blah. Hug, kiss. I'm like, yeah, girl, drive that car. So 2 years later, she's like, hey, Pastor Wes, I'm giving you the car back. I'm like, you know, she's 19, 20 now. I go to look at the car. She's cleaned the seats out. It's got nice tires on it. Turn the car on. The AC still blows. 2006 Honda Accord, bro. Those Hondas don't go wrong. That's why those Latins be on those Hondas. I know where y'all are at. I'm Latino at heart. Those Hondas be rolling, bro. They see me rolling. So I go in there, and I'm like, this is nicer than I got it. So fast forward, I'm at dinner like 2 or 3 nights later, and I'm with this couple, and they're like, hey, my kid doesn't have a car. And Dinah's like, give them the car. And I'm like, you know, I say a lot of things I shouldn't say. So getting tapped underneath the table, that could have meant a bunch of different things. And like, I didn't say anything inappropriate. I actually wasn't talking at that time. Believe it or not, I'm not always talking, but I wasn't talking. And I'm like, what'd I do? And she's like, so I'm like, oh. I said, Dinah wanted me to tell you guys. Dinah told me we have a car. We're going to give it to you guys. She wants to give it to you guys. Well, they drove the car for like a year and a half. They still have the car. They text me the other day and like, hey, we have the car. We're moving. We want to give it back to you. Come on, I don't mind giving it away a third time. It's going to feel, I don't know if it's just going to get. It feels nice to give. It feels nice to encourage people and to love them. Which made me think about this thought around the idea of comparison. You can't encourage people if you're comparing yourself with them. It's hard to encourage people that you're comparing or you're competing with. It's hard. It's hard to be generous to people if you're comparing what they have versus what you have. And I don't know about you, but I want whatever God has for me, I want it to come in one hand and out the other hand. I want things, if God can get it to me, I want him to get it all the way through me. Because whatever he gets to me, I want it to go out. Because everything I've ever noticed before is if it, once it goes out one hand, I feel like God's always filling up my other hand. It's just like, boom. It's just, I just want to be a conduit in the kingdom of God. You can't encourage people if you're comparing with them and competing with them. Then I want to give you one more thought around this chasing carrots. Hopefully you'll come back next week. I'm really excited about next week's message. You're going to love it, hopefully. Hopefully. It's a big hopefully. This will encourage someone in the room today. Just because other people are chasing, it doesn't mean you should. It's completely normal to chase. But you need to know why you're chasing the thing that you're chasing. I had a friend of mine, Adina's cousin, he's a golf instructor. And he's like, kid came to me, he's like, hey, I want to golf like that guy over there. I want to golf like my friend. And he said to him, you can't golf like your friend. He goes, why can't I golf like my friend? He goes, your friend comes 5 days a week. You come once every 5 days. He goes, you're going to have different outcomes with that. 5 days of practice is different than 1 day of practice. You're comparing something that you're not going to have the same outcome. I want to encourage you today. Don't want what somebody else has. That is difficult. When you're wondering what other people have, because you don't know what they did to get it. We say it this way: it takes 15 years for an overnight success. We've had people come to our church. We want to start a church. I'm like, you should start a church. Man, we want to start a church. You guys did it. I'm like, yeah, you start a church. Go do it. Go start a church. It took us, by the way, we did ministry for 15 years before we started this church. And so it took us 15 years to get ready to start this church. And then we went out and raised money to start this church. And you just don't know what it took to get somebody. My buddy's in Boston. There are 4 campuses, thousands of people every weekend. Well, he's been at it 15 years. I can't compare myself with Sean. Sean can't compare himself with me. Sean and I are in competition. Sean said to me, hey, I want to help you start your church. Let me resource you guys. Let's not want what everybody else wants. And let's not compete with each other. I want to invite you to stand to your feet all across the way. Would you bow your head and would you close your eyes for just a moment? Last week's question is, God, what am I chasing? Come on, this week, week 2's question is, God, why am I chasing after that? I believe that he revealed it to me. God, why am I chasing that? Why am I chasing that? Our prayer team is up here today. If you need prayer today for anything, man, I want to encourage you. Maybe you're fighting something right now. You're like, man, I just need prayer. They're here. They're available to pray with you today. Maybe you're here today. Like, man, I'm tired of chasing. I'm just not interested in chasing anymore. I want to encourage you today. If you're done chasing, you're in a good space not to chase no more. No one here is competing with anybody else in this room here today. We're just cheering each other on, high-fiving and loving each other. Could you take a moment, and this is why your head's bowed, would you ask God, would you reveal to me the why I'm chasing? Because I think if you can get that answer today, it'll make you stop chasing that thing. God, we love you. God, we don't want to chase. If we chase anything, God, we want to chase you. We want to chase the kingdom of God and things of the kingdom. God, for the one here today who's like, I'm just trying to stay up with so-and-so, God, I pray that you would release the spirit of competition in their soul. Lord, maybe there's someone who's competing and they're going after something because they're chasing because of the brokenness in their past experience, God. But I pray that you would heal the brokenness right now in this moment. I pray they would just sense, like, even as I'm praying now, they feel like the brokenness is being healed as we speak. God, we want to be a people that are lifting people up, that are encouraging, because your word tells us that the world will know that we're your disciples by the way that we encourage and by the way that we love one another. Lord, we're your people. Lord, reveal to us right now in this moment why we're chasing and what we're chasing. And Lord, help us to give that to you. Help us to exchange what we're chasing for something so much better, God, which is you.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.